You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
Chuck and I are sitting here with two really incredibly talented guys, Chris Martin and Johnny Buckland from Coldplay. Chris and Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming.
I got to start off by asking you about your album title. I'm going to let you pronounce it because I don't think I can.
Milo Xylotoe.
What does it mean?
Well, it kind of means whatever you want it to mean. And I know it seems silly now, but hopefully one day it will just mean that album. Like Coca-Cola or Google or YouTube or any of these things that didn't mean anything before, you know, something was invented. So that's what it means.
You release records in so many different countries. I mean, do you think that it's going to be a little hard for people to pronounce?
Yeah, well, once they know how it's pronounced, I think they'll be okay.
Yes, maybe it is a mistake, but it's too late now.
Okay, I've been sitting here listening to you guys talk. Now, according to the Latin dictionary, Milo means disambiguous. Xylotoe means a family of hoverfly insects.
Right.
So if you put the two together, it means something dark.
Right. Well, we hadn't looked at the Latin. I think we like it because it looks nice and it isn't anything else. It's the same with our band name with the name Coldplay. Nobody knew what that meant either. So.
Okay, so now I'll ask you, what's the most interesting interpretation so far?
That one.
Disambiguous hoverfly, I think.
Now that we got the name of the album out of the way, tell us, how much of a concept album is this?
I would say about 73%. It's kind of a story. If you want to find a story going through it, there is one. And it's supposed to be kind of a parallel world where everybody feels very similar things to what we feel. But I think the idea of calling it Milo Xylotoe was just to make something fresh and new that doesn't have any associations, because that's what we were trying to do with the music and with all that. And so it's a concept in as much as it's set within a new framework. But all the emotions in it are very human and relatable.
Would those emotions be about romance in an oppressive environment?
Yeah, very much so.
And the world of Big Brother watching.
Yeah, and all the religious fundamentalists.
That's right.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Chuck and I were discussing the new record, and it was our interpretation.
No, that's what it is, which I think is not too far from most people's experience on the planet, you know, trying to find love within a very scary atmosphere.
Is it true that you were inspired by the HBO show The Wire and the punk band White Rose Movement?
I think anyone who's watched The Wire would be inspired by The Wire. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would. Okay. It's just inspiring creativity. Mm. I mean, we've got so many different places that we've been inspired and influenced by. I think the White Rose Movement was just, I think everybody's drawn to any group of people that put their passion on their sleeve, and so there's countless humans that have done that. So, but they're a good example.
There's a book called The Road. Did that influence you on a song on your new record? I believe it's called Major Minus.
Oh yes, The Road. That's in there. There's a song called Major Minus, which is based on the road, but you know, trying to escape on a road.
And would the song Major Minus, would that represent the James Bondish type villain?
Yes. God, you've got it, man. You're the first. This is great. It's almost like you have a plug into my brain.
Yes, he's good at that. Chris, I was looking at some of your new publicity shots, and you know, you look a lot like Joe Strummer from The Clash.
Well, that's no bad thing. It's bad for him, but it's good for me.
Did you ever meet him?
Well, no, sadly, I didn't. But in Glastonbury Festival, there's a corner of a field with a stone dedicated to him. And so I've been to that to sort of pay my respects.
Just like The Clash, you guys seem to be into the New York graffiti scene. Is that where this is going to visually as well?
I don't know, really. What? Well, I don't know that we were using The Clash as our main reference point, but we do love The Clash.
We lived in the house when we were first forming the band. The house we lived in, the apartment, was the same apartment that their manager used to live in. So every day we would get fan mail for The Clash. Every day. That's not a joke. It used to be piled up on the bottom of the stairs. We were like, God, people love The Clash.
Wow, that's a pretty crazy story. Now, there's this, your new record, there's a single, Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. There's this image portrayed that you're sitting in your room, you get a bunch of old records out, and you listen to them intensively. Do you guys actually do that?
Yes, I think so. I think it's very important to stay excited by listening to new music and old music, to maintain enthusiasm, because, you know, in the studio you can get very analytical, you can really
overthink,
you go to concerts and you're looking at whether you like their lighting, you know, you don't necessarily think, well, am I having a good time or not, you know, it stops being so sort of enjoying it as much, I think. So you have to then take a step back and go and listen to some great records, you know, some records you loved in the past, or great new records, and really start enjoying it for what it is.
It's important to still be a fan of things, I think. That's what keeps everything fresh and exciting.
So is it like designated days in your schedule that you spend just listening to records?
Yeah, when we were working with Brian Eno, sometimes we would just listen to things and even play other people's songs. And yeah, so the line in every teardrop is true. And every morning I try and listen to an album of somebody's when I'm doing exercise, and I think you do the same, right? Mm-hmm. So we listen to a lot of stuff.
So what are you listening to these days?
Well, this morning I was listening to The Smiths. Yesterday I was listening to Tiny Temper. Day before that I was listening to PJ Harvey, I think.
This morning I listened to our album.
Is your new record Milo Xylito? So, see, Chuck? It's not that hard to say. Is it your way of letting loose musically? I mean, there are some really loud moments. There's some really quiet moments. There's a lot of electric guitar. Not a lot, but there's this electric, and then there's acoustic parts. It doesn't seem to fit into a particular place. So would you consider this Coldplay music? Or have you found a new sound or a new style?
Well, I think we definitely have a bit of freedom that it took a while for us to feel comfortable with. It's a combination of things. We're on our fifth record, so we shouldn't try and sound like our old records. We also have been working with great people, Brian Eno and Marcus Dravs, who have encouraged us to just go wherever we want to. So I would say, yes, we have kind of found our thing. I wouldn't know how to describe it, but it's just music in this day and age is not so tribal, so I feel like you can be a fan of so many different kinds of music, therefore means that your own records become a bit more exploratory, I think.
Johnny, can you tell us, Brian Eno, what is his function in the band?
He really is like our sensei, I would say. He's like our sort of teacher come, you know, like in Karate Kid, where he goes to see Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi teaches him how to do it, but the kid has still got to do it in the end. You know, he's got to work it out for himself, kind of. That's what Brian does for us. He sort of shows us what needs to be done and then disappears off.
Yes, like a sort of wizard figure.
And this time, did the wizard say more guitar?
He said, more guitar, more everything.
Except me. Less Chris, more everything else. He definitely said that. I think it's cool having more Johnny on the record.
What inspired you to write a song about Charlie Brown?
Well, that's just, I just love that title. And I love the character because he's kind of always a bit down, but there's always some bright spark at the end. People love him, really.
The single Paradise, it almost sounds like it's a children's rhyme. Para, para, paradise. Am I making any sense here?
Well, it's about a girl who is trying to escape from her life, really. She's, Evie, I think you better.
Okay, so it's there's kind of two sides of the album, and one is the male side and one is the female. And Paradise is kind of the theme tune of the girl on the record, and it's just about someone who finds life difficult, so they escape in their head. You know how we all do, we lie down and think about a beach, or so it's just about that, really. About how no matter what's going on in your life, you can go anywhere in your head. I think that's a good thing.
Chris, there's a quote from you that said, "I don't think bands should keep going past the age of 33. You're there, now what?
You're 34 now?
I'm 34.
I'm nearly 34.
I still don't think we should. Yeah.
What are we doing then?
I don't know. We should leave. I think what I was... I don't know what I meant. I wish I hadn't said it. I'm sorry. I say a lot of stupid things.
Chris and Johnny, everyone is so glad that you guys have decided to go past the age of 34 and keep on recording. Chuck and I would like to thank the both of you for being here. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.